Xi Jinping's China. We look at how Xi Jinping has shaped China and world relations since he came to power, and what his ultimate ambitions may be.
The making of Xi Jinping. China's president, Xi Jinping, knows about terror. He faced it as a 13-year-old in 1966, running for his life through the streets of Beijing. Chasing him were a gang of Red Guards, the fanatical young guardians of Chinese communism during the anarchy and madness of the Cultural Revolution. They carried batons with which they could have beaten him to death, as they had many others accused of being counter-revolutionaries. Xi's father, a high-ranking official of the Communist Party, who was known for his progressive views, had been denounced, beaten, and would spend a decade in prison. Xi Jinping himself, like many other privileged children, would eventually be sent to a remote village for 7 years of re-education as a peasant laborer. He later said that on the train out of Beijing, while those around him cried, he smiled because at least he was going to survive. 44 years later, in 2013, the adult Xi Jinping started his first 5-year term as president of China, having worked his way cautiously up through the Communist Party hierarchy. At the time, many people imagined that his past experiences would make him a moderate, but they misunderstood him. The lesson that Xi Jinping retained from the terror of the Cultural Revolution was not that China needed to be more liberal or democratic. It was that China must be governed with absolute authority by the Communist Party to prevent social chaos. His father's experience also taught him to be paranoid about threats inside the party. So, one of his first moves as president was to start a campaign against party corruption. Corruption was a real enough problem, but he used the campaign to remove all his rivals from public life. By 2018, his control was such that the party Congress voted unanimously to change its rules, permitting him to remain president for life. Xi's 7 years as a peasant laborer gave him the ability to connect with ordinary people, but they seem to have left him with a sense of intellectual inferiority. It is perhaps this inferiority that pushed him to oblige all students to take courses in Xi Jinping thought, which is now an official element of the Communist Party Constitution. Surrounding oneself by sycophants, however, can result in poor decisions. For instance, Xi famously championed a zero-COVID policy during the pandemic, imposing brutally enforced lockdowns on cities as soon as a case appeared. This was after other countries had learned to live with COVID. Eventually, the Chinese began to riot in protest at the endless lockdowns, forcing Xi into an embarrassing U-turn. COVID ripped through the largely unvaccinated population, overwhelming hospitals and causing an estimated 1.5 million deaths. The official Chinese figure is 83,150. At the age of 70, Xi is still young by some measures, and can expect to rule China unchallenged for another 10 or 20 years. In that time, he is determined to see the country attain, or reattain, a position of global primacy. Already, he has moved China from his predecessor's policy of peaceful rise to one of increasing aggressivity. China's military is being expanded at high speed, with Xi recently ordering it to be ready to invade the island of Taiwan, which the Chinese consider to be part of their country, by 2027. At the same time, he has introduced a new generation of confrontational diplomats, known as wolf warriors, into countries all over the world. They have been known to storm out of meetings, shout at foreign counterparts, and even insult foreign leaders. It seems that the boy who ran from the gang carrying batons has grown into a man holding one over his own people and others.
Controlling the people. There is an implicit social contract between the Chinese people and the Communist Party. The people accept the absolute authority of the party, and in return the party delivers economic prosperity. But in a country with a population of 1.4 billion people, the contract is under constant strain, as the hundreds of strikes and street protests recorded across China each year demonstrate. Often these protests are about local problems, but sometimes they're more political, as when people in Shanghai took to the streets during the COVID lockdowns last year, chanting, "Down with Xi Jinping!" If President Xi finds himself the target of such protests, it is because Beijing has become increasingly oppressive during his rule as modern technology has offered the party powerful new ways of controlling the population. Most famous among these methods is the Social Credit System, SCS. The SCS is similar to internet ranking systems such as Amazon and Google reviews, but it applies to each individual and every aspect of their life. A Chinese person has a trust rating on the SCS based on hundreds of data points from their daily life. Imagine, for instance, that they cross the street when they aren't supposed to. A camera will identify them using facial recognition technology and their SCS rating will be affected. Same thing for bad driving, etc. If the score gets too low, they are blacklisted and their life changes in small and large ways, such as not being allowed to travel or their children not getting into good schools. Even their internet speed can be reduced, and protesting is clearly a one-way ticket to being blacklisted. But that's just the start. The police are now using technology to prevent crimes. Using phone tracking and street cameras with facial recognition, algorithms can now alert them to anything suspicious. Imagine that the algorithm notices an individual meeting a large number of people one-to-one. That's probably a drug dealer, and the police are notified. Or what if three individuals with known anti-government views travel toward the same location? The algorithm will see this, and their meeting will be prevented. Even ordinary people who are known to have a legitimate reason to complain about something will find themselves being intercepted by the police if they try to approach a government building to file a report. But those suffering the most in Xi Jinping's techno-surveillance society are the Uyghur ethnic minority in China's Xinjiang province. In the name of de-radicalizing the Muslim Uyghurs, around 1 million of them have been placed in re-education camps. There they experience brainwashing, torture, rape, and forced sterilization. Those Uyghurs not in the camps are under constant close surveillance, a QR code on the front door of every home being used to log their movements in and out. In a report last year, the UN qualified China's actions in Xinjiang as a crime against humanity. But such condemnations have no impact on Xi Jinping or the Communist Party.
Dominating the world. According to a 2020 national security law, it is now a criminal offense for anyone in the world to criticize the Chinese Communist Party. Under the terms of the law, a person who does so can be arrested on arrival on Chinese territory and detained indefinitely. This gives one an idea of how China views its future position in the world, and it goes beyond being a military, economic, and cultural superpower on the American model. For instance, numerous countries, including France and Britain, have recently become aware of China running secret police stations on their territory. Ostensibly, the aim of these stations is to help Chinese nationals with administrative issues such as renewing ID documents. In reality, their purpose seems to be the surveillance and intimidation of Chinese dissidents. Britain has ordered the closure of the three known sites on its territory and says it knows of 100 or so other sites around the world. Meanwhile, China has been asserting influence over the educational systems of Britain and many other countries. This is principally done by installing Confucius Institutes in universities, generously funded organizations that were originally supposed to be for teaching Chinese language and culture to native students. But their more important role is to control discussion of China on university campuses, suppressing anti-China views, and pushing Chinese participation in research projects in potentially sensitive areas, including military technology. There are now calls in many countries for these institutes to be closed down. On a more populist level, and despite vociferous denials by the company, TikTok has long been suspected of sharing user data with the Communist Party. Some countries, such as India, have banned the app entirely, while many others, such as the US and UK, forbid government employees from installing it on their phones. Recently, a former TikTok employee testified that members of a Communist Party committee in the parent company do indeed have a God credential that gives them access to all data collected about users. Taken individually, these may seem like relatively minor things, but together they can be seen as part of an ambitious, coordinated push to promote Chinese soft power internationally, while at home, the nation builds up its hard powers, economic dominance, and military superiority. Economically, the key project designed to promote Chinese power is Xi Jinping's Belt and Road Initiative. On the surface, this is a trillion-dollar program of infrastructure investments in some 60 countries around the world, ports, roads, and train lines, to facilitate global trade. China's critics accuse it of also being a vehicle for debt-trap diplomacy. Poor countries are persuaded to accept billions in infrastructure loans from China that they are then unable to pay back. Sri Lanka, finding itself unable to repay the loan that built a new port on the island, was forced to cede control of the port on a 99-year lease to China. This, in the current context of rising military tensions, gives China numerous potential strategic bases around the world. The Communist Party strenuously denies that it intends to use bases in places such as Papua New Guinea and Kiribati for military purposes, but then they have said that before. This was exactly the same message coming from China when, shortly after Xi Jinping's arrival in power, the country began building on coral reefs all around the South China Sea. This sea, which is bordered by China, Vietnam, Malaysia, and the Philippines, is a major international trade route. Based on an old map that has been categorically rejected by an international tribunal, China claims almost the entirety of this sea as its own territory. Using the map as an excuse, Xi began pouring concrete on various coral reefs around the sea in 2013, all the while denying that the resulting islands had a military purpose. Today, they are clearly military bases. At the same time, China has rapidly expanded its navy to the point where it already surpasses the U.S. in terms of ship numbers. Historically, experts say that the larger navy almost inevitably wins maritime conflicts. Xi's ultimate objective, clearly, is to push America and its allies out of the South China Sea, leaving China in full control of the eastern Pacific coastline. In all probability, the flashpoint will come over the island of Taiwan. Long part of China, more than 2 million Chinese fled there when the Communist Party took control of the mainland in 1949. Since then, it has functioned as an independent state, but Xi has promised to bring it back under mainland control, by force, if necessary. America has declared it will protect Taiwan in the event of an attack. At that point, which may soon arrive, the real battle will not be over Taiwan, but over which side, China or the USA, emerges as the dominant superpower of the 21st century.